Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Wow, nothing works. I forgot to turn the mic on. Fliegelman said the computer froze. I can't hear. Good morning. I need my Beatles. There we go. Ba-ba-ba-ba. How we doing, 402? McMonagle here with you. Got you for one more hour to the 5 o'clock warm-up show comes your way. Yankees clinch the division. The Mets continue to pound the Nationals. They are two games up as they head into the most important series of the year against Philadelphia. Pennant race baseball is fun. We got to see the Yankees celebrate. We'll get back to that in a moment. We will take your calls on the football, and we're going to turn to that right now as well as we do our pick real quick, because typically on Football Fridays we do five picks. The two locals, and of course, three others. If you do math, 2 + 3 = 5. But because the locals are not both playing on Sunday or Monday, we have the Jets tonight against the New England Patriots. We're going to do our picks here real quick. So let's just get to it. Fliegelman, last week you had a rough one. 1-4. I just went back and listened to it to be sure. The only game you got right was Arizona. You got the Arizona game right, which they absolutely pounded the Rams.
Yeah, do I get like a bonus point because that was a blowout? Or no.
You don't. Right. 1-4, that's it.
Well, listen, thankfully I only tied for last place for the week.
Right. I think Marco went 2-3.
He did not.
Oh, no, he lost all of them, didn't he?
Well, he won the Jets.
Won the Jets, that's it. So I'm the only one who went 2-3. Domination early on. I'm loving it. At 500. Last year we were so good. Now 500.
Well, look, again, last year, what I did, and then Fleegs wind up right behind me. So the idea that we're all going to be 20 games, 25 games over 500.
Just saying.
Market correction.
I mean, second half guy anyway. I just need to stay kind of near 500 through the beginning of November.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised I went 2-3 in these picks because, I mean, I just was wrong on.
The Jets saved you guys.
Jets saved us. I was wrong on almost everything I thought. I was wrong on every game. All right, well, let's start, and hopefully we turn it around better. We'll start with the We'll do the Jet game. -6.5 against New England. Fliegelman, you're up first.
All right, so I do think the Jets are going to win this game, and for all the reasons you spoke about earlier, this should be the day that the offense really, you know, adds on to what they did in the second half of the game Sunday against the Titans. The Patriots are without their left tackle, left guard, could be without the center as well. So the Jets' defense should feast. I just don't ever like laying the big numbers on a Thursday night. If they were playing this game Sunday, I'd lay the touchdown or so with the Jets. But because it's a Thursday night and the Jets are on the third game in 11 days, I'm going to take the points. So it won't be as comfortable a win as the Jets are looking for, but I do think they'll win. They just won't cover.
Okay, Marco?
You know, I want to go with that same train of thought in the three games in 11 days, and this is difficult, and they'll win. It's ugly, and it's going to be ugly. It's Thursday night football, which is usually ugly. I just, for some reason, I feel like the Jets, even late, whatever it is, they're going to wind up where they win by 10, they win by 13, but it's ugly as hell watching the whole thing. So I'm going to take the Jets laying the 6.5. I don't feel great about this. Yeah. They're going to win the game. I think we all can agree the Jets are going to win this game. It's just a question of whether they can cover this number. Logic tells me three games in 11 days and the way the Patriots have played well in the first couple of weeks that this is a difficult spot for the Jets. I'm going to take the idea that they get a touchdown late that winds up getting enough breathing room. Give me the Jets laying the 6.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Jets and I'm going to take them comfortably. Jets are going to blow the Patriots out. I have a really good feeling about this game. I think the Jets are going to blow the Patriots out. You mentioned the problems at the offensive line the Patriots are having. And also, I think this is the game They've gotten their first win now with Aaron Rodgers. They're coming home as long as he makes it through the game. If you watch this Patriots team. Yeah, well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, as long as he makes it through this home game, like if he stays healthy and manages to play the entire game, I know New England won a game against Cincinnati, kept it close against, and went into overtime against Seattle. You watch it. Geno Smith picked them apart. Like he went down the field. This defensive backfield is not very good. DK Metcalf got behind the defensive bunch. I truly believe this is the game where Aaron Rodgers at home, already having a win, starting to feel comfortable getting into the season after the injury, getting into his first season as a New York Jet against this team that he knows, everyone knows. I know it's not Bill Belichick and Tom Brady anymore, but this has been the team that has, you know, owned this division. He's brought here to make sure they don't lose to New England anymore. Like, there's just a lot about this game that I just think they're going to get big time into the passing game. The running attack, I think, now is developed into this tandem that makes them even more dynamic offensively. And I think the defense, as long as you can stop this run, they have no wide receivers for New England. They, you know, Hunter Henry is their best wide receiver at tight end. You know, he's been their passing game. Yes, Stevenson's obviously a dynamic running back and run the ball hard. If you stop the run, which I know has been their problem, but I think it's something this coach will focus on the entire week, stop the run. This team coming off of two good performances for them, traveling on the road. And you've seen what road teams do on Thursday night. They typically don't perform well. I think everything about this game leads to a big-time two-touchdown victory for the New York Jets.
I hope this is like last week where I get the Jets pick wrong and you guys get it right.
Yep. I'm telling you, this is a big win for the Jets tonight. Big win.
Look,
Aaron Rodgers throws three touchdown passes, two of them to Garrett Wilson. They win big.
I think the one thing that we can all agree on is the Patriots don't get fooled by the first 2 weeks. They stink. And you're going to see it. You're going to see that. Again, it's just a question of the first home game. There's still some jitters with that, with the Aaron Rodgers. I do feel like this is just going to be ugly as hell. I am laying the points. I'm taking the Jets.
Yep.
I'm not as confident in you that they're going to be able to put everything together. And they've already started with some of the excuses, too. Robert Saleh with the, you know, nobody cares if your dog is dead and whatever. We got to still come out. They're almost setting you up for we're going to play. We're still finding ourselves. The Jets are going to be, and this is going to bode well for them. They're going to be more of a second half type of team because of the Rodgers injury, because they're putting it together, because they're meshing everything. They're going to win a lot of games, but they're not going to find their footing. I'd be surprised if this is a 31-10 type of affair. I'd be surprised.
That's exactly what I think it is. It's exactly what I think it is.
Look, I kind of hope for it too for the Jets because I'd like to see them get on a roll and get themselves right and get themselves going in that right direction. I feel like this is going to be longer than 3 weeks before we actually see the Jets start to click.
Yeah.
I feel like this is going to be a long process.
Nah, I hear you. I just think New England stinks.
They're awful.
I just think they stink. I do. I still think that. I know they played well. They looked well coached. And even now, Mayo's making an example out of a practice squad player who like was disappointed and like, you know. So I think he's kept with that model of Bill Belichick and running a tight ship. And I think they're well coached. But ultimately, I think they played a miserable game. Cincinnati was just awful in that game. Burrow was awful in that game. And Seattle's not that good, and they still put up a bunch of points. Like, I think this Jet defense is going to stop the run, and Aaron Rodgers is finally going to have his Jet moment.
31. Remember, the Bengals moved the ball in that game, too. They just had a couple turnovers. They probably were looking ahead to the Chiefs.
Probably look-ahead spot, to quote Gio. It's a look-ahead spot. There's no doubt in my mind. This is a big victory for Gangrene. Big victory. Yep. Don't look at me like that.
To quote another fan host, from your lips to God's ears.
Yeah. Just because I'm you know, making a statement here, going out on a limb.
Hey, how is this a limb? I'm with you on laying the points.
I'm saying big time. I'm saying they win by 10.5. I would still pick them. They're going to win big. Big. If I say it enough, I'll convince myself. 888. No, I do. I think this is going to be a big game for Aaron Rodgers. I do. I think he's going to look to get off of that performance and having two touchdown passes, but both to running backs. And Wilson, what do you have, 4 or 5 receptions? Like, I think this is the game against this defensive backfield where they decide to really get the ball down the field, get the ball into Wilson's hands. You saw Seattle do it against them last week. I just think this is a game where the Jets say, screw it, we're the Jets now with Aaron Rodgers, and they're the old guard. The Patriots no longer are the team that give us a problem inside this division. It's the first time, I was telling him, the first time since the Vinny Testaverde torn Achilles game that the Jets have been favored by 6 points or more against the Patriots.
Makes sense.
It's a quarter,
and if Belichick
didn't
take Tom Tuba out, the Jets would have won and probably covered that game.
And it's a quarter century. I just think, like, you can't look past a team that you haven't supposed to have beaten like this for 25
years. No. There's no such thing as looking past the Patriots for the Jets.
Right.
They're nowhere near all that. To me, it's just that whether or not they've gelled. The one thing I will say, too, and we haven't had a chance to talk about it, I haven't to be able to talk about this since last week. Rodgers from week one to week two, to me, was night and day with his movement.
Yeah.
He looked like he couldn't move at all in week one against the 49ers. He looked a lot more comfortable. It wasn't Aaron Rodgers yet, and he only made, what, two or three really great throws, and everything else was just kind of workmanlike, but he looked more comfortable moving around, whether it's confidence in the Achilles, whether it's 40 years old and it takes a little bit to get the body to move, or the first contact, or whatever the hell it was. He did the leap from game one to game two, I thought was very encouraging for Rodgers.
Yeah.
We'll see if he makes another step where all of a sudden, I mean, we are still only a year away from the Achilles. Yeah. I do feel like it's going to take a little more than just 3 or 4 weeks.
Right, and that's what I think. Like, they went up against the 49ers defense, and I think the Tennessee's defense is better than people think. Like, they've been able to stop the run over a couple of years. I mean, listen, let's be honest. They might have won week one if it wasn't for Will Levis. They should have won that game against the Texans.
As Callahan said, if we just punted on first down on every drive, we'd have won this game. I mean, that's awful, but it's true.
Yeah, totally true. So I think they played two good defenses, and I think Rodgers this week at home wants to put on a show. This is the team to do it against. I think they're going to try and run up the score. I'm telling you, Jets by 2 touchdowns. All right. Are you excited about the Yankees making the playoffs? Are you one of the people who thinks they should have waited till they clinched the division to celebrate? Are you happy with tonight?
162 games, you could celebrate whenever the hell you want.
There you go.
You got 6 months to play a season. You want to celebrate a playoff? I mean, yeah, absolutely. You deserve it. You've gone this long road. Don't look your nose down at any playoff chance to get in there. There's no reason to not celebrate. You want to celebrate again? Celebrate again. Why the hell not?
Another one?
What, when you win the division? Why the hell not?
Really?
You win the division series?
Wow, look at you.
You want to celebrate again?
I wouldn't have guessed
celebrate
you.
Celebrate again.
I wouldn't have thought this was you. I thought there was a very good chance you would have been like, you're up 5 games in the division. Can you just wait until...
This entirely contradicts Marco's personality.
Yeah, totally. And then to do it again, like full board, same thing, big champagne celebration, goggles, whole bit.
Again, I'm all for it if that's what you...
Meredith Marakovitz getting all, you know...
If that's what you want to do,
doused in the
you'll go right ahead. Camaraderie, chemistry, you go ahead.
I'm shocked. Shocked. I thought for sure you were going to give me a different take.
No.
Thought for sure. And then a double celebration? I never expected that.
You should celebrate.
He never has two cups of coffee at home. Like, I never would have thought you'd
every
be into the
single
double.
Round you want to celebrate, you go right ahead. You've earned that.
Well, the rounds, you win a playoff round. I'm just saying.
And even
I think you had a choice. You could either choose to do it once you make the playoffs, or you choose to do it when you win the division.
I said
now, maybe when you win the division, they might still have a moment or something. But
no.
It can't be this.
Why not?
I don't know. Because you've already done this.
You've accomplished something different.
Look at you. I can't believe we're on the opposite sides of this argument.
I think
you have a nice little thing, maybe a toast or something. You're going to put the plastic
six,
up. And,
this is six months worth of work. You go right ahead. For one night, let it all hang out. Go ahead. If that's what you want to do. Now, if you're workmanlike and if you've won a bunch of World Series like the Yankees towards the end, didn't really celebrate this stuff in 2000 and 2001. It was almost kind of like, look, we've got bigger things to do and we've done this. I understand that because that worked for you.
No, 100%.
This team has done nothing.
100%. No, I'm with you on the actual celebrating. I think you do it once in the regular season. You pick which one. You pick now or you pick the division they pick now. All for it. But... I think now the next one comes if they win the ALDS. That's it.
I disagree. Again, you want to celebrate for the division. To me, it's all about because you're worried about outside perception. You screwed up. So whatever that locker room wants to do, that's what they should do.
I
mean, if they're worried about what you think, then I got a problem because then they're concerned about stupid things. Whatever they're going to do in that locker room, and my guess is these guys, most teams, they want to celebrate whenever the hell they get a chance to celebrate.
Absolutely.
So if they want to do that, go ahead. And it does build chemistry.
I don't think it could be the same level. I don't know. It can't be the same goggles throwing. I mean, and I love watching it. It's the best post game of the year. I'm a big fan of it. I brought my Martinelli's in today. By the way, do you want some sparkling cider?
Yeah, no. Especially, I saw your lips all over it. I saw the picture on Twitter. It's disgusting. No, I'm not daring.
I'm not going to ask you to take a swig. I'll pour you out some.
No, thank you. Again, these are, as much as we like to, they're children. They're grown children.
No, I understand that.
You don't think they can celebrate again?
Of course they can, But why it just not? Seems like a lot. Now you're going to have Soto dancing again. I love that because I don't want that moment was special. Now they're going to do it in a week when they
I can't stress this part enough. This is not about you.
But it is about me.
It's not. It's not even remotely about you.
It's not about the fans celebrating with the team a little bit? Then why put the cameras in there?
That's up to them. They would have celebrated the same way whether those cameras are there or not. That's the point.
Yeah.
That's what I like about this for them. You're asking me different what I would do for them or what I would do for myself. If I'm on that team, I'm not going to go crazy celebrating because it's not my personality.
Yeah, you won't even take
I know. It's not my way.
You won't even have a little apple cider.
Well, I don't want apple cider. Really?
Apple cider is delicious.
4:15 in the morning. What the hell am I doing with that? But again, for them, if that's what they enjoy, that's what they like, and that's what they should do. And it also builds the chemistry inside the clubhouse, which is something that I think is important for this team going into the playoffs.
Right.
Whether or not fans like it or they enjoy it or we want to complete. That's something where, honestly, those cameras, big giant middle finger to all of us. That's about them. That's not about us at that point.
Okay.
And that's something that's important to me. 6 months, you want to celebrate? That's about you. That's where we have the little bit of a disconnect from the fan to the player. They get a chance to celebrate that. They win a title. All that's right. For all of us.
All right. But then where do we draw the line on what's for them and what's for us? Because I feel like you had a problem with the mentality of, you know, hey, Nestor Cortez talking about, hey, you know, we're in it every year. It's not about that. What happened to George? And it's all about winning a championship. But when it comes to partying, that's all about them. You know, what if they in that room feel perfectly fine with, hey, you know, we made the playoffs. Now we'll just see how good we play in the next week. It's not, if we don't win, it's fine. Like that mentality, okay?
No. So you went into the, if we don't win.
Yeah.
You won.
No, I get it.
You won. This is about your celebration for what you did.
Right.
And whether or not you want to enjoy it. That's on you. Because you won.
Okay.
Once you win, you can do whatever the hell you want.
All right.
You don't win? Don't tell me that it was okay. That's a problem.
Fair. I just think, I think you pick one. And I'm glad they picked last night. That's all. I'd be surprised if they have another full-blown champagne pointed all over each other. You know, Meredith.
I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Really?
Yeah, I'd be surprised.
The whole thing again?
After hearing the post-game show, I am with Marco. I think they're planning on doing it again.
Wow.
100%.
All right, listen, I'm all for it. I love watching it.
So and again, this team has accomplished nothing. So every one of these steps is something new for all of them. How many guys in this team have not made the playoffs?
A lot, I guess.
Too many.
Yeah, too many.
Too many.
Well, yeah, I know Weaver.
Jazz Chisholm was just here last year.
Yeah, Jazz Chisholm was
Volpe didn't
was
make there. Playoffs.
Well, no, Volpe has not, no. But that's about it.
Luke Weaver hasn't made the playoffs.
Luke Weaver. Did you see him, by the way?
Yeah.
That's a weird dude, man.
Exactly, which is part of the reason why I like him being the closer.
No. 98, I'm all
and he's got
it.
A screw loose.
Yeah. Oh,
exactly. Perfect.
The emotion he shows on the mound, and then that weird sort of...
You hear him talk afterwards?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's...
No.
I like it. You're a little crazy.
He was asking questions, and he was purposely, robotic. Like, you could tell he thought it was funny to answer questions very, aw, shucks, I'm an idiot. Like, he was trying to give that, it was very bizarre. It was very dry humored, but it was almost beyond dry humored to, I want to purposely be awkward in this interview because I'll find it funny.
Yeah.
He's taking it, like Canely's another one, nutso. Canely's crazy.
In a different way.
Yeah. He's like zany crazy.
Yeah.
This guy's like, I'm going to pretend to be that weird guy next door who you avoid when you take out the garbage. And I'll find it funny by pretending to be that
guy. Yeah, see, no. I don't think he's pretending. That's what I like.
Yeah.
I think Weaver's I think he's got some issues. And I like it. I like the fact that the closer is 98 and he's got a screw loose.
No doubt.
And he's definitely a little bit, to the point of almost psychotic.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm with you.
That's good.
I'm with you. He's the closer. I'm 100% with you. Love it. Love every aspect about it. But I think last night was a little bit of a show. I think he got a kick out of finally being asked questions and being put on the spot.
That's part of the psychotic nature.
No, agreed.
That's what I'm saying.
It's psychotic, but I'm just saying he did it with a little smile. Like, I'm going to show, I'm going to be crazy for this interview.
Yeah.
It's great. It's
He likes you being uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's almost like, Hamlet almost, where he's putting on the perception of being crazy so no one will pay attention to him. That's it. He wants us to think he's crazy, which is crazy.
Mm. I think he just enjoys knowing that he's crazy. I think it's real. and I like it.
I do. I like it too. I'm into it. Weaver's an experience out there. You need that emotion on the mound. Clay is a little bit, as much as I waited a long time, and I still think Clay is someone they're going to need, and I trust more than most. I know he gave the home run last night. Why he's in the eighth inning, I have no idea, after pitching the seventh successfully. But you need, Clay has zero of that aura around him at all. He has zero of it. When he doesn't fist pump, he doesn't do anything. He walks off the mound. He's completely just nothing going on there. Weaver is a maniac out there showing all kinds of emotion. Totally.
You know when it started to go downhill for Clay Holmes?
When?
When he got that intro song out of the bullpen. Yeah, and it's awful.
Well, the song is good. The intro sucks. I don't know how they... I love the song. I don't know how they ruined
it. Really know the song, and I've heard it a couple of times.
No, it's Chris Stapleton. He's the man.
Whatever. Great. When you're the closer and you're supposed to, I don't know, instill fear, get some intimidation, you can't come out to that.
Why?
You can't. You just can't, because it doesn't set a tone.
Yeah, he's going to be the cowboy on a white horse come to save the day.
Awful.
The actual intro, they do like a...
Tweet.
In the building, the lights go down, which is the same thing as the home run, pretty much. And then it's like this psychedelic lava lamp, hippie-colored... you know, tie-dye shirt thing going on with the scoreboard. And I'm like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, that's my problem with it. The song is okay.
No, it's not.
Yeah, the song is fine.
No, it's not. Yeah,
well, you don't need Pantera and Metallica every song.
You don't. Then you don't
like trumpets.
You need something that's got some aura. They don't play any music. Yeah, what the hell's the point?
I like the song. If you want a cowboy and a white horse, here, I'm coming to save the day.
Like ABBA. You don't come out out of the bullpen.
Well, no one's asking to come out to ABBA.
Again, it's just garbage. Find something good or don't play anything.
Oh, that is good. You're knocking Chris Stapleton right now.
It's not about the song.
You just called it not good.
For the aura of what it is. The song itself, I've heard a couple times. I don't really know if it's a good song or not.
A good song.
I don't really care. That's not the point of this. The point of this is whether or not it's good for an outro music for a closer to come into the game. It doesn't set a tone. It doesn't intimidate. It doesn't do anything.
Nothing. You think people sitting around and Hell's Bells hit and they were intimidated?
Other players on the other teams were intimidated by that. It's sad, but they were. And it was they were intimidated
by it. It's the chicken or the eggs. Like, you know, Enter Sandman wouldn't have intimidated if Brandon Looper came out to it. Like, the idea that they were intimidated because Mariano came out to it and made it a thing. If Clay Holmes was a dominant closer, the intro would be fine.
Does it set the tone?
No, because he comes out and blows games. That's why. No.
The music would set the tone.
Do the trumpets set the same tone now?
It sets a
tone. Or was it 2 years ago special because Diaz was having one of the best seasons we've seen from a reliever? Was it the trumpets or the reliever first? Then the trumpets becomes a thing.
It's cool when you come out to it. If you don't perform, it then sucks and then you have to take it away because you didn't perform. This sucked from the second you walked out the door of the bullpen.
It could have been cool if he pitched great.
Everybody in the crowd's looking around at each other going, what are we supposed to be doing here? Are we, like, what do you mean?
So when Chris Stapleton comes out, what are you supposed to be doing? Like, you listen to the music, you like the song, he comes out, the lights go out. Why there's a lava lamp, like it's the 1960s, I don't know. He didn't come out to, Strawberry Alarm Clock. He came out to Chris Stapleton. I don't know why they're doing a 60s tie-dye shirt kind of thing.
Sucks. All of it. Sucks.
I think you're being unfair to the music. That's what I think. I think you're clutching at straws looking for things to blame for Clay Holmes. Blame Clay. It's his fault.
I did blame Clay.
Right.
I also blame Boom for having him in that spot.
Well, I have no idea. It was awful. Terrible decision. Awful. He did his job. He got out of the seventh. Why bring him back out for the eighth?
Which is part of the reason why you have to actually build his confidence instead of now it got worse.
Now it's worse.
It gets to the point where you can't use the guy, and at some point you're going to need him. That's the one thing everybody keeps talking about. You can't put him on the roster. Really? How many other options do you have in the bullpen? At some point you're going to need Clay Holmes.
Thank you.
And you're going to have to be able to build up his confidence. You had a chance to do that, and you screwed it up.
Yeah, they did.
So you had a good chance to be able to get a good song, and you screwed it up.
You pick the music. Tell them. You know. You know better. I've mentioned like a dozen pop culture things. Well, you have no idea about anything. You don't drink cider. You don't go out to dinners. But somehow you're the say-all, be-all of what closers should come out to. That you have a firm grip on. Like nothing else we've ever discussed, have you been willing to even remotely give me a strong opinion on anything, not sports-related, sports-related is fine, but like pop culture, music, whatever, dinner, wedge salad, nothing. Everything I get is, nah, not my thing. My stomach, I don't know. But closer music, that's right up your alley, and you know exactly what's right.
So I got to know about cider
just
and wedge
anything.
Salad.
Yeah.
That's what life is about?
That is exactly what
then
life
I will,
is about.
Then I will
you
boil it down. I will bring it down to your level. They both suck.
I'm telling you right now, you are one day you are going to be at the pearly gates, and the answer to life is going to be presented to you as it is to all of us, and you are going to be surprised how often wedge salad is mentioned in that.
So I'm telling you. This is my dinner, wedge salad and cider.
It's the simple joys in life.
Sparkling cider.
Yeah. Feeling the thing that still brings me back to my childhood. The New Year's Eve.
Sparkling cider brings you back to your childhood?
Yes. The New Year's Eve when all the adults were drinking champagne and my parents gave me sparkling cider so I could be part of it. Yes.
This is the concern. This is the problem that I have. You're worried about being part of it.
Of course I want to be part of it. What do you think? I brought a bottle of Martinelli's to not be part of it?
Yeah. You try too hard. I'm not worried about being part of it. I don't care.
Well, there's disagree. Oh, I'm part of it. Yeah. I'm part of it. Yeah. I'm with them every. I watch them every day, every inning of every game. I'm part of it. Oh, I'm part of it. You bet your ass. I'm
so
part of it.
There's a we. It's you're actually on the team.
No, but there's a we. It's a Yankee Nation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pinstripe pride. That's a we, my friend.
Okay.
Now we're talking about celebration. It's a we when it comes to the celebration. So, we be celebrating.
So you're worried about being part of like the cool thing?
No.
Is that?
No.
That's where the pride comes from.
Do you think when I showed up to work in a Yankee sweatshirt and a bottle of sparkling cider, I was concerned about the cool aspect of it?
I don't know. Were you?
No, I wasn't.
Quick to take a picture and put it on Twitter?
Yeah, I mean, quick to go through my Twitter and find how many quick pictures I put up. This one I did because you know why? I was part of the celebration.
Okay.
I was part of the celebration.
Good.
This is the best moment of the entire season. This post-game celebrating, watching Juan Soto dance while he's getting champagne poured over his head and ignoring Meredith Marakovic.
I'm lost.
That's exactly what
And
the
then
best
you're
going to
complain that they're not going to do it again. I'm lost.
Well, because
I'm
you lost. Because it the more you do things, the more they become watered down and less special. You get one a year. That's what made it special. Now they're going to do it every time they get a new mark? What if they clinch the one seed overall? Should they celebrate that too? And if they beat out Cleveland for the one seed on the last day of the season, another celebration for being the best team in the American League, not just the division?
How do all these things affect you? I'm just curious. If they do, if they celebrate, what does that do for you? Is it because
you
can't open another Martinelli's? Is that the problem?
No, I like the things that are special to stay special. If you do it every single,
I'm just trying to follow. So the wedge salad, you can't have it every day because then it wouldn't be special? Is that where we're going?
I suppose.
Same
on
thing?
On some level.
Same concept?
Yeah, but the wedge salad is something you do at a steakhouse because they specialize in the wedge salad. I'm not going to get a bunch of...
They specialize?
Yes. They specialize in it.
Because it's cold.
It is chill.
They're the only ones that know how to put it in the fridge.
Well, no. I mean, listen, I could make anything at a restaurant. Why ever go to a restaurant then? Why go anywhere? Oh, I heard this is good. I can make that. They specialize in, this or that. Like, I guess I could do that too. Oh, you have a great chili? I have a crock pot at home. What's the point? My point is, it's special. The celebration's special. I don't want three regular season celebrations because now it's not that special. Because the third one, I won't care to watch. The third one, I won't get the Martinelli's. The third one, I won't take a picture. The third one, I won't be a part of it because I've already done it twice. You know what I'm saying?
I don't. I lost you about 15 minutes ago.
All right. I know. I just, sometimes I talk to you and I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't. You're all over the place.
I'm all over the
place. Yeah, you're all over the place. All of a sudden you're the biggest, like, old school curmudgeon type guy a little bit. Like, you're crapping on the song and yet we can celebrate every day of the week.
No, again, you say we.
I get it.
I'm not going to celebrate anything with them making the playoffs.
Why not?
I'm not doing that. You don't see me busting around spraying champagne through the hallways. I'm not doing that.
I wish I could have.
Not
my thing. I should have brought plastic.
Although that actually would look like fun.
Yeah.
That's not for me. Them, they could do whatever the hell they want because they accomplished something. That's the difference. I can separate. They accomplished something. Yeah. I did nothing tonight. You did nothing tonight.
That's fine.
They accomplished.
I want to be a part of it.
They play it every night.
New York.
They play this after win, loss. You're a part of it. I want to be a part of it. That's why we go there. That's why I am a part of it. I am a part of the celebration. Shame on you for not thinking you're a part of it. You are, Marco. Whether you want to be a part of it or not, whether you're going to sit there and actually enjoy it like I do or not, you are a part of it. You're just the weird guy in the corner pretending he's not a part of it. You are a part of it.
I got a little Luke Weaver in me, apparently.
Yeah. You that's, are. That, we're all a part of it. Everyone who's listening to me is a part of it. Any Yankee fan who was watching last night, you're a part of it. You're not a part of the victory, no. You're not a part of the $1 million being made, no. You're not going to get a ring, no. But damn it, you're going to sit there on your couch, and unfortunately for many, it had to be, you know, 1:45 in the morning because they were on the West Coast last night. But you sit there, you watch it, you watch them celebrate, and you know that you've been right there with them for 52 games or whatever it's been. You've been riding along with this team, the ups and downs. You get pissed off at a nightly basis. You hate this one, you hate that one. You love this one, you love that one. The stupid idiot did this. I can't believe, did you see how great Judge is? Up and down every single day. And you get a chance to watch them celebrate and be a part of it.
Did you cry tonight?
No, I didn't cry.
You sure?
Yes. I didn't cry. If they win a championship, I might. But they did not. I did not cry. No, I'm just excited. Just excited, Marco. Just a fan wearing it on my sleeve. That's all. And apparently you can't understand that. And that's where we're different. That's where we're different. You are somehow, you know, just you're just on the outside looking in. You're like, you know, a child outside of Macy's with her the face pressed up against the glass, just, you know, watching and have nothing to do with it, and understood at a very early age that that's them and this is us, where I'm not about that. There we go. 4:32 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. Damn right I was a part of that celebration.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And I hope you were too.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manning calling signal, takes the snap, looks left, off to left, first is wide open, touchdown Giants, and a left corner of the end zone.
Touchdown.
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, let's go. Let's get right to the phone calls. Me and Marco yelling about it took up most of my normal rambling time. So let's get right to you because, hey, you're a part of it. You're a part of it. You're a part of this Yankee celebration. You're a part of this Met run. You're a part of Jets tonight. You're a part of it. Don't let Marco. Yeah, in fact, Nimmo is challenging you to be a bigger part of it. Nimmo's out there calling you out for not being a bigger part of it, enough of it. Should be out there more. You need a packed house. Go be a part of it. That's right. That's what I say, at least. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Morning, Christopher.
Good morning, Patrick.
Well, I'm glad that you're in a calm state of mind, that you're not argumentative with anyone.
Not at all.
No, I mean, clearly everyone's on the same page. So
easy. That's it. That's all of us here on the same page, the fan.
Well, I think the overnight family is very special.
Mm-hmm.
I remember once it was Bruce from Bayside. Would leave his apartment because his phone wasn't working. He'd leave it in cold weather, go down to the gas station and call on a public phone to get into the fan.
Sure.
And, and of course there was Jerome and Doris from Regal Park. But today I'm thinking of Eric from Ronkonkoma. He comes in every morning. He usually comes into your show and gives us his thoughts on the day. And the overnight family is good to nurture. As far as the Mets are concerned, I'm not going to call anything. I'm not going to jinx anything. Not that I have the power to jinx, but I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy watching these games.
Yeah, I mean, right now, and I'm going to let you go because you had a little feedback on the phone. Yeah, what's not, I mean, they're as enjoyable to watch as any team in baseball right now. They're just on a run. Even when they're, I know when they weren't scoring runs, certain people, certain fans are never happy watching a team not score runs. I get it. It can be boring if there's nothing going on. But the pitching has been unbelievable. If you like pitcher's duels, if you like watching your pitching staff go out there and dominate, I mean, let alone what Lindor has been doing and now what Acuna has been doing in his stead, it's been remarkable. Like, this group, and, I called them dead. I think a lot of people expected them to fail, especially 11 games under 500. And then, I mean, it's three weeks ago, maybe a month ago, that they're four. Yeah, it's like 3 weeks. They're four games behind Atlanta. They blow that game to Arizona. They're four games behind Atlanta. And I didn't call them dead at that point, but it sure felt like, geez, I mean, these Braves, since when do the Braves not play their best in September? Since when, even when the Mets are at their best winning 101 games, the Braves will come up and bite them in the ass. Like, I thought they were in trouble. And over those 3 weeks, they've made up six games. They're two games up. They've been the hottest team in the sport. They have the best record since May 30th. Every single pitcher goes out there and gives you six innings of one-run baseball at the worst. And they lose Lindor. And that's when the offense erupts against the Nationals. They have a meeting. I was concerned about the timing of the meeting. I didn't like it. It just none of it made sense to me. Like, obviously, it made me feel like they're more concerned, and I said this on yesterday's show, like, it made me feel more concerned about the injury. Plus, it's just an ill-timed, like, when things are going well, you typically don't stop everything to talk about it. You want to ignore it. You want to pretend like you just keep going about your business, but you don't want to point out, hey, we're doing really great. Like, you don't, typically meetings are designed for when there's failings or things you don't like seeing, and how could you not like what you're seeing from this Met group? So it pointed to a more concern about Lindor. And how have they responded to that meeting, and how have they responded to losing Lindor? They brought up a prospect who you can't get out. Like, it's been unbelievable. This Met run has just been crazy. And I fully expect them to finish it off at this point. But they start a series, Severino on the mound tonight against Philadelphia for four, that you want to still be two, like, to me, you want to head into that Atlanta series still two games up. I mean, that's ideal. Certainly at least one game up. That's bare minimum. You have to be a game up heading into the Atlanta series. Maury and Belmore, what's up, Maury? Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. Just to echo Patrick, he's got such good timbre, right? Patrick's voice?
He does.
Fantastic timbre. I love his voice. It makes me feel great in the morning. But listen, you have to celebrate every single one, and I'll tell you why. Because last year was such a disaster that every notch that we get to, next step to the next level, next step to the next level, and then we get to World Series, we celebrate each one, and then I take the crew here, you, Marco, and Fleeks, we go to the homestead, we eat steaks, we eat the what is that?
The wedge salad.
The wedge.
Don't act like you don't know it, Maury. It's a wedge salad.
Three wedges. While we eat steaks, we just get Marco three wedges. That's all he can eat. With extra,
I mean, it depends on the bacon. You get that good quality, thick-cut bacon that they'll slice bacon up on that bad boy. Yeah. It's delicious.
The old homestead's got the big, fat bacon they serve as an appetizer.
And that's its own appetizer, more. Yeah, the thick-cut bacon. But they'll take that bacon and slice it into little cubes and put it on top of the wedge salad. I mean, the fact that I have, of all the things I've had to defend, whether it's Boone's decision making or the pitching of Clay Holmes or anything else, the idea that I have to defend the wedge salad is the biggest debacle of all. It's the wedge salad. You get it at steakhouses. That's what you get. It goes with the steak, the blue cheese dressing, the bacon, the coolness of the iceberg lettuce. Like, wake up, people. Wake up.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, let's try and get through as many phone calls as we have on this Thursday morning. We got the Jets taking on the Pats later tonight. Jets in a rout. Jets in a rout, you heard me. Jets win big tonight. Yankees won big last night. Mets won big last night. Yankees were celebrating, pouring champagne all over themselves with October Ready shirts. And apparently when they win the division, they'll have American League East Division shirts as they pour champagne all over each other. I don't hate it. I didn't think they would. I thought it was either this or that. But that doesn't matter. They're five games up in the division. They will win the division. The Mets are two games up in the wild card, taking on a Phillies team tonight that they'll need to figure out a way to at least split four with before heading to Atlanta. So we got pennant race baseball. We got Thursday night football. Big night ahead. Eric and Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Mac, good morning.
Good morning.
Quick, thank you. Thank you to Pat for the honorable mention.
That's yes, cool. Very nice. You're part of the family.
I think you and Marco need to have a Hell in a Cell match to negotiate the song.
I just want to give him a salad.
There you go.
Just want to give him a wedge.
Look, the Mets are taking care of what they have to. I'd love to see them jump on Taijuan Walker and knock him out early.
Yeah,
that'd be great, especially with Wheel of Lumen on Sunday. The Sunday night game. They got to get whatever they can get. Certainly, because everyone else kept pace yesterday. So
yeah,
do what they can in front of them. They've been doing a great job so far.
Yep,
and fingers crossed they keep it going. So
fingers crossed, Robbie. Robbie in Lake Success. What's up, Robbie?
Chris.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you, after 37 years of calling, I've been relegated to rapid fire. That's what I'm now rapid fire. I'm an afterthought, but that's cool because you know what?
Well, you called at 4:53.
I did call late because I woke up. I didn't even know the Yankees won. I'm not part of it, but I'm part of rapid fire. But you and Marco are the two old guys in the Muppets. I know you went to Disney. They're the two old guys sitting there on the upper deck over there, yelling about the bear, bickering about, I got to go to the bathroom, but I'm bolted in. I mean, just sit in the whole show already, Marco. Just rant all night long. That's fine. Two-man team.
I mean, you're taking up his mantle. So do you want to talk about
something? I'm not taking up anything.
Do you want to talk about something, or do you want
fire
to have your own rant? Rapid fire includes points.
I'm rapid fire now.
Let's go.
Use up the rest of rapid fire. But, Chris, all kidding aside, because I just had a vent. And, by the way, Pat is correct. Bruce would go to the – I was a personal friend of him. We socialized together. May he rest in peace. It's 8 years already. And thanks for bringing him up, Pat.
Oh, I'm sorry. Rest in peace. But it's rapid fire, which you've mentioned. You didn't use your time wisely. Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
What's up?
All right. Great game yesterday for the Yanks. Make it quick. When do you think the Yankees are going to clinch the division?
When do I think the Yankees are going to clinch the division? And thank you for the call, Danny. I mean, it might be before. The Orioles are falling apart. Like, that's the plain, simple truth of it. The Orioles are falling apart. The magic number is now 6. I would say sometime in that series. Maybe the first or second game of that series. Before they are done with Baltimore, they'll win the division. Bernadette in Oceanside. Hey, Bernadette. What's up? How are you?
Good. I'm good, Chris. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to talk to you about these amazing Mets.
The amazing Mets.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that used to be their mantra, but now it's the way I got to believe or, oh, my God. But I grew up in a household full of Mets fans, and I am a diehard Yankee fan like you.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very happy for the Mets because they deserve all the success that they have right now.
Absolutely.
It is truly unbelievable how they came back from really, like you said, being down and out.
Yep.
You know, I mean, and look at where we were last year. No Yankees in Yankees in the playoffs, but they lost.
Yeah. Well, Mets, no, last year, last year this was, we were already moved on. Bernadette, this is so much better. Oh.
The Giants losing 40-0 to the Cowboys.
Yeah,
and Aaron Rodgers breaking his Achilles or crash or ripping it, whatever they want to call it.
Yeah, whatever they do with Achilles these days.
Well, and look where we are today.
No, Bernadette, you're 100% right. The difference between where, like, we were just focused on trying to figure out whether or not, you know, we could make it work with Zach Wilson. Like, that was it. You had BT yelling at us to not be losers. Like, that's what a year ago was. We had no relevant baseball whatsoever. You knew by week two, you know, it felt like the Giants were dead, even though they had a rally in the second half to beat Arizona. It looked awful. And the Jets were without the Aaron Rodgers. Jets had no Aaron Rodgers. It was a disaster. A disaster. To the point I thought I was cursed. I thought it was me. When they gave me the job, they just decided that New York sports was going to fall apart. The Yankees had the worst season I can ever remember. It was a disaster. We're back, baby. We are back. Yankees in the postseason. I firmly believe the Mets will be in the postseason. We got pennant race baseball until then. The Jets are about to blow out the Patriots tonight and go 2-1. And only the Giants continue to be the absolute horror show. But hey, Daniel Jones played okay. So, we do have that. Mick and T-Neck, what's up, Mick?
Okay, Chris, I'll try and squeeze it in.
Please do.
We have two things in common. Baseball is the greatest sport, and the Beatles are the greatest group of all time.
They certainly are.
2 weeks ago, on Thursday, the 5th of September, I was thinking about the Yankees, how they make the postseason every year, but haven't won since 2009. The next morning, you were talking about the Buffalo Bills never winning the Super Bowl, and you compared it to a myth in Greek mythology.
Yes.
I had thought the same exact thing about the Yankees 24 hours before you mentioned the myth. The Yankees are the modern sports version of Sisyphus. And if this is the last call, I want to sign off with Goo Goo Gajoo.
Goo Goo Gajoo. I am the Eggman. I referenced them as Sisyphus, yeah. The Yankees are a little bit like that. I mean, that was really... I mean, they were in the Super Bowl every year. They carried that ball back up to the Super Bowl every year only to get beat. And it got worse and worse and worse for them. Every loss got worse for the Buffalo Bills. It was like a missed field goal. They should have won. Then Washington beat them pretty good. Then the Dallas games were a joke. Like, you know, that was more like Sisyphus than this 09 team, the Yankees since 09. But it's time to finally put that boulder over the top because I got to tell you. It feels different than other seasons. They're going in healthy. They're going to go in with the best record in the American League. And they're going to go in with the best team in the American League. It's time to get back to World Series. No excuses. That's it for me. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening, most of you. For the rest of you, try again next time. And I'll be on tomorrow midnight, probably right after the Jet game, for some instant reaction to the blowout victory. I'll catch you then. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.